If you remember in John 5:16, the Jews were upset at Jesus because their first argument as to what he had done fell apart. I mean, he did a good work. And therefore, it says in verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. You see, what they're really saying, what's really happening here is you didn't do it the way I wanted it done. And then you didn't do it when I wanted it done. So you see, this kind of an individual, the Jews, are always persecuting the Jehovah saved. Now, it made them upset for two reasons. First of all, Jesus had all that God had promised, and then he passed it on to this lame man who'd been laying around there for years waiting for somebody to help him. So along comes Jesus and helps him. So everybody that had been trying to help him now had to realize they couldn't help anybody. So rather than deal with the fact that they couldn't help him and Jesus could, they said, you did it on the wrong day. Well, if you had the problem the man had, I don't think the man cared what day they did it on. Today would be a very good day to be healed. Now, the last part of Sabbath, remember, meant to lose time, to have a loss of time. And time meant the usual period during which something is done. It is now 7:30. I lost time. The usual time to get something done, the beginning, is usually 15, 20 minutes. Don't make me know, never mind. I've got no place better to go. And neither have you. But if you leave, we'll all know where you're going. And we'll all know why. But that's okay. Now Jesus is going to set the scene. One thing I like about Jesus, the truth, you challenge him and try to back him down, and he'll step on your face again. He says, well, wait a minute. You did this on the Sabbath day. And Jesus, in verse 17, Jesus answered them. He says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He said, look, if my dad wants to heal this man on the Sabbath day, who am I? When my dad wants to get it done, that's when I do it. In other words, he says, I don't ask your permission. I don't care what your calendar or when you think you're ready. I do it when my dad is ready. See, if I waited for you to want to be healed, we'd have a long wait. If I waited for you to want to do right, we'd have a long wait. So I just wait for my Father, and my Father says, today. And you say, tomorrow. And I say, today. So Jesus said, listen, I want you to know something. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, the Jews sought the more to kill him. Now, how could you want to kill someone more than just killing them? See, they already wanted to kill him, and now I say, we want to kill you more. Wait a minute. What do? You kill someone and say, well, is he dead? Well, let's kill him more. You see, there's no logic here, is there? It's all emotionalism. Therefore, in verse 18, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath day, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. It doesn't matter if Jesus would have spit gold bricks at him. They'd have said, the reason we want to kill you is because you're giving us gold bricks. It didn't matter. Husbands, if you're telling your wife that when you lied to her, she got upset. And now that you're telling her the truth, she's still getting upset. So what is her problem? She likes to be upset. Now, if she's going to be upset either way, she might as well be upset because you're right. If she's going to be unhappy either way, let her be unhappy. That's okay. If you're not going to like me, I would rather that you dislike me and not be like me because I'm telling you the truth. And it doesn't matter if you think that I make myself equal with God. If you think that, it doesn't matter. But so that you just don't think it, let me tell you, I am equal with God. I'll step on your face. You challenge me and I'll step right all over that because it's the truth. Now, if Jesus, by calling God his Father, makes himself equal with God, then I've made myself equal with God because I call him Father too. And so do you. And incidentally, we've been doing it. If you were born again young enough, you've been calling Father Abraham, and that's wrong. Abraham's not your father anymore. It's Father God. Now, here's what they were upset at, and here's what people get upset at me all the time. They get upset at me because I'm equal with God, and you get upset because I can tell you you can be equal with him too. Now, understand what the word equal means. It comes from a Greek word that means to be similar in kind or amount. Not the same, similar. Equal doesn't mean the same thing. It means similar in kind or amount. It means nearly, but not exactly the same. It also means having the same shape, but not the same size or the same position. So equal with God means I'm nearly, but not exactly the same as he is. I have the same shape. I look like him, talk like him, act like him. I just don't have the same size or the same position because he's my dad and I'm his son. Now, who do you want to look like? Maybe I shouldn't have asked that question. Having the same shape as God. Shape means the same physical outline. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Everybody agrees to that. When Jesus was born on this earth, who did he look like? Like me. The same shape, the same physical outline. Shape also means the external surface. So we look like God. We have the same shape, the same physical outline, the same external surface. Most of the time. Now, I suspect God doesn't have this physical outline. Ugh. 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 I suspect the man stands up straight and looks like a man and acts like a man and talks like a man. I suspect he has the same external surface, too. Stern, yet firm. Passive, yet aggressive. Able to do whatever's necessary. No, you can't fool with the man. Now, I see a lot of faces. Ooh. Ooh. I say, Lord, you don't look like that, do you? Because I want to look like you. Please tell me you don't look like that. See, lips and things kind of fall. You notice people that are depressed, that have fallen, that are in the pits, everything falls. Eyebrows, they have a way of, and eyes and lips and everything. You don't look like you used to look. The black cloud comes over. Ooh. And you don't even look like the same person. Sometimes I look and I see fire in your eye. And I could swear your teeth sharpen and come to a point. And I say, man, I'm glad I don't believe in that stuff because I'd get me some garlic for this dude. You don't have the same external surface. Same shape also means the same good physical condition. God is strong. Everything works just right. Shape also means good health. We have the same good health as God does. You see, that's why people get upset, because I say, I don't get sick. I refuse to get sick. I'm not going to get sick. I won't get sick. I can't get sick. I refuse. I won't allow it. Oh, who do you think you are? I just told you. God, what do I have to do? Draw you a map? Would you like it better if I spit and coughed in your face? Oh, bless God, we've made another day. And if it's his perfect will, I might make it home and maybe see you tomorrow. If not, hallelujah, brother. Come on. Where in the world did we learn that? Listen, if he's my God and my son, I'm entitled to the same good physical condition and the same good health that he enjoys. How dare him say he's no respecter of persons and then withhold something from him? You talk to God that way? Yes. He said, come to the throne of grace boldly to obtain mercy and find help in time of need. Now, how can I talk that way? Because I know that he means what he says. I don't have to come and say, oh, Lord, if it be thy will, would you please? He said, I thought I already told you it's my will. He said, now you go tell them it's my will. And incidentally, if it's my will that you not be sick, then don't get sick. Don't go over there and give them that stupid example. Stay healthy or get out of my face. Well, Lord, you're kind of a little on the tough side. He said, yes, I'm tough. I refuse. I don't want you to be sick. I'm mean. Yes, I'm going to take away all your illness. Pain and flu, yes, I'm taking it away from you. Whether you like it or not, I'm mean, mean. No, you'd rather have a God who loves you and gives you sickness and tribulation and throw in a little cancer now and then just for good measure. After all, God loves you. Man, I don't understand that. Similar also means to have the same good health. And health means to have the same physical and mental well-being as God. Now that means you can handle anything without emotion. Anything. Now, picture this. And I thank God we don't have to do this. But here you are, nailed to a cross, with spikes about that long through your hands, through your wrists, and your feet, been beat within an inch of your life, had hair torn out of you, spit on and cussed at. And he looks down and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Was he crying? Did he say, ooh, ouch, ooh, ah, ah. They walked up to him and slapped his face. And he said, for what good work do you slap me, friend? Bear witness of what I did to deserve this. Man, that's unemotional. That's calm. And then there was two people hung there with him. One called him everything but his name, says, if you're God, come down from there and save us both. Laughing at him. Said they railed on him. He didn't even acknowledge him. The other one said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, you're never going to get in a situation that's tougher than that. So when you come to this preacher and say, oh, I lost my temper and I did this and that, you're a fool. That's what you are. And you have no similarity to what God wants you to have. The same physical and mental well-being. Health also means freedom from disease, pain, or defect. Vitality. The power to go on living. Eternal life, in other words. Now, we claim that all the time. And every time that you claim, I'm going to live forever and I'm going to heaven, you're making yourself equal with God. Every time you claim his healing and you ask him, and I've had two people already ask me for a healing service tonight. Well, how dare you? Are you equal with God? And the answer is, yes. Thank you. Now, Jesus has to answer these dummies. Because right away, see, you'll get off on a tangent and you'll say, oh, this man blasphemes. He says he's God, and he said, oh, man, what a church, what a cult. Hold on a second, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, that's the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now that's a blessing right there that's been a curse all your life. Because Satan camped on that and said, oh, whatever the Son sees the Father do, that's what he has to do. He has no choice. Come here, Mom. Tell your son what a jerk his dad is. Show him every fault. Run him down. Cut him up one side and down the other. And make sure, Mom, you also tell your son what a jerk the preacher is. And men in general, by the way. But particularly hone in on the Father. Because now we've ensured that the Son, whatever he seeth the Father do, these things he will do likewise. Now, some people will say, well, he was Jesus and we just have to suffer. Wait a minute. Aren't you smart enough to know that you're a chip off the old block and you're just as much a jerk as your dad? You have all the same habits. That's your same strife. Your toil is to break out of this mold that your father's in. Now, if it works on the downside, that you have to physically do what you see your physical father do, then isn't it logical that you also have to do spiritually what you see your spiritual father do? Why would it not work for God, but it would work for the devil? So you see what the problem is here. He's saying the reason you do these things wrong is because you've seen your father do them. And you have to do the things you've seen your father do. And that's why I want to show you a different example of the Father so you can see how to do things differently. And therefore, if you accept that, then you'll do it likewise. It's the same principle. It's just that Satan turned it around. Now notice here that God didn't say, Jesus didn't say, Jesus can do nothing. The Christ can do nothing of himself. He didn't say that. He said the Son. Because he was speaking of himself and Reuben Galvis. And you, by the way, if you're smart enough to see this. He said the Son can do nothing by himself. Son has three basic meanings that I want you to get. Number one, child. The child can do nothing of himself. Notice it doesn't say nothing by himself. Your children can do lots of things by themselves, and they're all wrong. He said he can do nothing of himself. In other words, everything your child do, he had to learn it from somebody. He can't just invent something. He has to see somebody do it, and he has to imitate them. No son, no child can do anything of themselves. Understand that. So he says, the Son can do nothing of himself. I'm going to prove to you that he was talking about himself and us, particularly me. Now, you ought to read the Bible the same way. This man's talking about me. This is personal. This is a letter. He's talking about Reuben here. You ought to be able to do the same thing. Son means child, but it also means a child as placed through adoption. In other words, he says the adopted child can do nothing of himself. But this son means a son in respect to God. In other words, he said, those of you who are sons of God by adoption can do nothing of yourselves. Now, was Jesus Christ the Son of God by adoption? No. He was the begotten. So see, Jesus is really talking about you and I here. He says, those of you that have been placed in the position of son through adoption can do nothing of yourself. And you know what the word son means? It comes from a Hebrew word that means to be adopted or to have adoption. In other words, those that are adopted can do nothing of themselves. Adopt means, and understand how you got to be a son. Adopt means to choose and bring into a certain relationship, to take into one's own family by legal process and raise as one's own child. That's what adoption means. So you see, when you came into this church, into the church of the living God, and God took you into his own family by the legal process called adoption or salvation, he now has the right to raise you as his own child. And you see, this is what this is all about, is to try to raise you as God's own child and break you of the habits of being raised from your earthly father and mother. You've been adopted, and you agreed, by the way. You opened your big mouth at an altar somewhere and said, "Father God, please save my soul. Make me one of your children." He said, "Okay, come on in." Now, let me tell you what runs in the family. Oh, I knew there was a catch to it. No, he says, "I want to raise you as my own child." See, I want adoption, but you don't want the raising that goes with it. You say, "Yes, Lord, I'd like to be adopted, because you please wait until I die." And the Lord says, "Well, you're dead now and don't know it. Thou stinketh already." And this man keeps saying, "Come forth." He says, "You're a child." The child can do nothing of itself. Child means a son or a daughter. So when it says son here, when Jesus said son, it was a generic term. It means a son or a daughter, a child, an infant, a baby, or an unborn offspring. So he said, those that are not born again can do nothing of themselves. Those of you that are babies can do nothing by yourself. Those of you that are infants can do nothing of yourself. You're a child. But you know what else the word child means with an E on the end? It means a young man of noble birth who is a candidate for knighthood. In other words, what this says, it doesn't say you're a knight. It says you're of noble birth and you're a candidate for a higher office. That's what this thing means. Now, the problem is, you don't want your higher office. Now, understand, he says, "I've placed you in this position. You're a candidate for a higher office. You are my child. I'm trying to raise you, but you can't do anything of yourself." Now, the word "of" means caused by. You can't cause anything. You're a jerk, but you didn't cause it. You've got this problem and that problem, but you didn't cause it. You are the individual that allows it, but you didn't cause it. Understand what I'm trying to tell you here. You are protecting something you're not to blame for in terms of causing it, but you are to blame in terms of practicing it and covering it up. But you didn't cause it. It didn't come of you. You learned it from somebody. Of also means something that results from. You can do nothing that results from you. You can do nothing you caused. Of also means belonging to. You can't do anything belonging to you. You can only do what you've received from someone else. Now, you know this as well as I do. When you were born, you had to learn all these things from somebody. Why you become a Christian, born again, and throw that process out the window is beyond me. I don't understand that. Of also means derived or coming from, which means you can't do anything that derives or comes from you, because nothing comes from you. In other words, what this is really teaching is that you are a product of what you've seen and what you've heard. That's it. So see, the Lord said, now, you need to understand, you're covering things up unnecessarily. He says, you can do nothing of yourself. But what he seeth the Father do. Now, this word "seeth" is extremely important, because he says, you can only do what you seeth the Father do. Now, the word "seeth" mean is very important. It has five meanings, five definitions. Seeth the Father means to look to the Father, to look on the Father, to perceive the Father, to regard the Father, and to take heed. Now, how many times, Christian, in this church have I said, you got to look to, look on, perceive, regard, and obey? So he said, listen, here's what I want you to understand. And Satan says, oh, let me see. You mean whoever they look to, and whoever they look on, and whoever they perceive, they'll regard, and they'll heed? That's what the word says. So really, you can choose your own father. Now let me tell you how you choose your father every day. Whoever you look to, whoever you look on, whoever you perceive, regard, and obey, that's your father. Now I cannot help it if your father's name is Marlboro, or Jim Beam, or McNuggets. I can't help that. I can't help it if your dad's last name is Domino. That's not my fault. It's what you look to. And some of you come from a very prestigious family. They even sound uppity uppity. We're from the Winchell's family. You see what the Lord is saying? Look, you call me Father, but when push comes to shove, who do you look to? Who do you look on? Who do you perceive? Who do you regard? And who do you obey? That's your Father. And Jesus is going to say something very important here. He says, I came to be an example. And all I'm asking you to do is look on me, see what I do, because I'm doing what I've seen the Father do. So if you want to do what God does, look at me. And I looked at that and I said, Lord, then all I have to do is look at John and Matthew and all the rest of them, and I'll see what you did, because I didn't see Jesus. They did. Now understand how this chain goes. The Father, who no one has seen but Jesus. And he said, now what I see the Father do, I'll do. So now he said to these men, now you can do what the Father does, just watch what I do. Well, that leaves Rube out of it until I said, John, my friend, would you please show me what the man did? And he did. So now I imitate John, who imitated Jesus, who imitated the Father. So the Father passed it on to Jesus, Jesus passed it on to me, I passed it on to you, and you passed it out. Said, oh, this is wonderful, have some for you and you, but you didn't take any yourself. You see, this chain of command is broken. And you see, this is how you choose who adopts you and becomes your father. You look to them. Now, don't tell me you're looking to God, because when you get upset, when things don't go your way, you look for tantrums. Some of you get hurt. Some of you get angry. Some of you get depressed. Some of you get hyper. Some of you get down. But you don't look to God. You're not looking to him. He's not your father. And when I say look to, I don't mean stare up in the sky or at your ceiling. You see, when I look to God, I'll tell you what I do. And some people say, well, that's crazy. I just go open this book. Now, listen, when I have something that I need, I go to paper and ink, a bunch of pages, and I spend hours and hours and hours until finally I find what we need. And all you have to do is come here and plant your patootie and just listen for 45 minutes, and all the work is done for you. And do you look to that? No. You look to your watch more than you do. Listen, don't do that anymore. My watch is prettier than yours. I wouldn't even admit you have one after seeing this one. Look how nice that is. Wrist's not too bad either. Don't be doing this and putting your bony wrist out there and showing that cheap watch you have. It's not even set right anyway. I got the time. I got the money, and I got the time. Don't be looking at it. Don't do that. See, that just shows your ignorance. What do? You wake up in the middle of the night, and you got a real problem. You got an attack somewhere, your liver or a cramp, and you say, oh, the mighty watch, help me. No. You don't do it then, do you? some emergency comes up, and who says, oh, please, Falcon Cross, do something for me. No, you know who to call on then, don't you? And the Lord says, you know, child, the only time I ever see you is when there's an emergency. So the Lord says, maybe you should have more emergencies so we could see one another more often. Now, I didn't say God sent the emergency. See, we have a need to see God. You have a need to say, Father, help me in Jesus' name. But you won't unless everything is in the toilet. So because you have a need to talk to God, you purposely but subconsciously put things in the toilet. And then you can call on God. And he says, what do you want? And he says, well, my life's in the toilet. Oh, well, who did that to you, son? Well, I did. Learn the backstroke then. Ain't nobody can put you there but yourself. What you look to, what you look on, what you will perceive, you will regard, and you will obey. And he says, look, the son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. And God isn't asking you to do anything, but take a look and make a judgment. Now, I got all the money I need. I've got good health. All the material goods, no sickness, no disease, no anxiety, no pressures, none of that. Now, I didn't say they didn't come around. I said, I've got the answer for them. Now, if you don't like this, what are you doing here? I don't understand you. And if you do like this, what are you doing here? Because you're not getting it. Are you here just to say, I don't believe it? How many years, my friend, does God have to prove it to you? How many blessings? Keep it coming. I'm going to say, Lord, they still don't bless me. How about a Learjet and a Cadillac to get to my Cadillac? Well, I don't know if they go, well, let's try it, Lord, whatever it takes. You go right ahead. I mean, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. And I'm going to tell you something else I learned. Whatever blessings you all turn down, and these are blessings coming from the Lord, whatever blessings you turn down, the return freight is too expensive. And God told me a long time ago, don't send them back. They don't want them, keep them. Okay, well, I don't care. See, you're used to going to churches where they say, oh, brother, such and such just isn't getting it. I must be failing. I'm not failing. Man, I feel great. You want to suffer? Suffer. We'll have you fitted for a wooden shirt. You're comfortable with the feeling of wood at your back. You like that. I've said this before. I can understand a man being nailed to the cross. I do not understand somebody nailing the cross to themselves. That I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. So Jesus is saying, here's the problem. Your Father, the one you look to is the one you're going to heed. Now understand what Father means. Father comes, is the word for Father is pater, which is where we get the word paternal. And paternal means that you've received or inherited from a father. Not from your father, from a father. Let me tell you something, my friends. When you turn on that TV set and stick your child in front of it and ask that TV set to train up your child, they're receiving and inheriting some things. And they're looking to and looking on and perceiving and regarding and heeding what that TV set is teaching them. See, what you've done, you've made that their father. Because that's what they inherit from. That's where you inherited. Father also means a person regarded as a male parent. See, it doesn't mean just your male parent. Father means whoever you look to, whoever you look on, whoever you perceive, whoever you regard, whoever you obey, that's your father. That's someone you regard as a male parent. Father also means the originator, the founder, or the inventor. In other words, the father is the one that starts it, and the mother is the one who feeds it. Mother means nurse or nurturer. Now, I'm going to get a little graphic here. You need to understand. In the union between a man and a woman, the father starts the child, but the woman, for 9 months, she thinks, which becomes 99 years, but she thinks it's 9 months, she feeds what the father started. Now, after the father starts it, what does he have to do? Nothing. His job is done. Until that Rosemary's baby comes on the scene, and then your job has just begun. You know why? Because she's going to present you with a bouncing replica of you. And you say, oh, my God. Yeah. That is going to be your God. So you're the originator, you're the founder, and you're the inventor. So the one who rules the roost is the father. Now, in lots of families, the woman is the father and the mother. And that's sad. But it's only sad because the father isn't there or won't. Father also means to take the responsibility for something. In other words, you fathered that. I give blood tests all the time because you people just don't want to take responsibility for nothing. I could file paternity suits and say, that ugly monster is your child. No, not mine. That's not my baby. I had nothing to do. I was out of town that day, Brother Reuben. You got some over there, too. I mean, you father this junk everywhere you go. That's what paternity suit means. It says, you're the father of that. Oh, brother, I just got this. Where'd that come from? You're the father of that. And here's the sad thing about it. First you father it, and then you have to mother it. And that's when you bring it to me and say, oh, would you mother it? Not me. I gave it the office, man. I ain't feeding that child. I'm not going to do it. So then you spend the rest of your life looking for someone to mother your pain, to mother what's wrong with you. Let me tell you what else father means. It means the one who protects and the one who rears. I'll give you the last definition, and this will tell you which father the Lord wants you to follow. If you look up the word father, it means early Christian religious writers considered reliable authorities on the doctrines and teachings of Christ. In fact, we call them the early church fathers. The actual definition of the word means someone that you consider a reliable authority on the doctrines and teachings of Jesus Christ. That's your father. Now, unfortunately, some of you consider the reliable authority on the doctrines and teachings of Christ to be Pee-wee. Or howdy doody, or some other something. You see, the problem is that God says, whoever you think is telling you the truth about Christ, that's your father. Oh, son, don't worry about it. We're all going to go to heaven someday, and God loves everybody, and there's nothing wrong with you, and you're all right. You consider that a reliable authority on the teachings of Christ, and you know that man. That's your father. Because all you do is you confront and you try to find negative things and you don't consider me reliable on the teachings and the doctrines of Christ Jesus. Well, if this isn't reliable, how come I have all the benefits of it? You see, father doesn't mean I become God. Father only means that I am the one that then you consider the reliable authority on what Jesus wants you to know. That's what it means. So then he says, if you look to him, look on him, perceive him, regard him, and take heed, then you'll know who he's from. If your life doesn't change, then I'd get out. And those of you that have changed, you know how it worked. He says, the problem is, you have to do what you see the Father do. So this whole battle is to exchange fathers. Now, I have asked more than once, and the Father said, I'm not coming down there. As a matter of fact, the word says no one has ever seen his shape or heard his voice at any time. And he says, if they don't accept you, then they won't accept me anyway. If they won't accept the one that I sent, they won't accept me either. So this is it. Now you say, well, that's I just can't go with that. That's why your children and your wife do not consider you the originator, the founder, the inventor. They don't consider you to be reliable on the teachings and the doctrines of Jesus Christ. In other words, they don't think you know what you're talking about. They treat you like you know nothing. Why? Because that's the way you treat me. You don't consider me a reliable authority. So what happens is you must do now what the Father does. Now, some women will say, thank God we finally got on the men. We're free of this. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Father, pater, paternal, also means a parent. And parent is a father or a mother. So you see, inclusive in this word father is the one that starts it and the one that feeds it. Now, it can be the same person, or it can be two people, but everything that you do, somebody started it in you, somebody showed you how they did it, and then they helped you to do it. So it took a father and a mother. Now, the mother means that's which nurtures in the manner of a mother. That feeds and takes care of whatever the father started, in other words. Now, women, you know that in your body, if the man impregnates the woman, you have no choice. You have to feed that child. And that child eats whatever you eat. There's no choice in the matter. You have to feed what the father started. So now, when you get into this family situation, be careful what man you choose. Because whatever he starts, whatever he originates, you have to feed it. Because you're the mother. You have no choice in the matter. See how it's important to know what you're getting into when you say, I do? Because that man, whatever he is, whatever he believes, whatever he's about, he will bring into your family, and you will have to mother it, or you have no family. So it's either a question, if you want to keep it together, you got to mother what he does. If you don't, then you have no marriage, which is where you're at right now, so it's better off you listen to me right now before you make the mess. If you don't do it for yourself, do it for your children. Take a look at that man and say, that's going to be my child. My child is going to look up to this man, and I'm going to have to be part of that. I'm going to have to feed that in my child to help him or her become like him. That would put half the wedding chapels in Las Vegas, all the wedding chapels in Las Vegas, and 99% of them in the world out of business if we looked at it that way. That's going to be my child? And I'm going to have to feed that? Yes, you are, ma'am. Because you become the mother. You have to nurture it. And nurture comes from the word nurse. You have to nurse it, in other words. Nurture means to nourish, to feed, to train, to rear, and to upbring. You know, that's one of the biggest anxieties that a woman has. How she dearly is repulsed by what her husband is, and how he's treating and what he's bringing into the family, but she finds herself feeding the same thing in her children and making her children a carbon copy of that thing she says she hates. So she hates it in the man, loves it in her child. God, what a way to live. Is it any wonder that drugs and alcohol and all manner of things become attractive? Who can deal with that every day? Say, hate that. And then you feed it in your children and you love them. You say, oh, sweetheart, and you're doing this. You're building another one. And then you seek to God to give you some help and say, please help me from this man. He says, why should I? You say you hate it in him, but look what you're doing in your child. You're bringing it up. You're feeding it in your child. You're making that child a carbon copy of your husband. You're nurturing. You're feeding that. You become a nurse. A minute. You show me a nurse in a family, and I'll show you the beginning of the end. I'll show you some physical problems between that man and that woman. Lady, watch it. Don't be a nurse. Nurse is a woman, means a woman who's hired to take full care of another's children. Every time that child does something, your father, you're just like your father. You're a chip off the old block, just like your father. He's always somebody else's child when they do something wrong. You don't take the responsibility both ways. Makes you a nurse. Nurse also means a person trained to take care of the aged, the sick, and the injured. So the nurse tries to keep their child dependent. They don't want him to grow up. I watched TV the other day and it says, we should let our children be potty trained when they're good and ready. And they brought some kid out that was a linebacker for Illinois. Yeah, I ain't ready yet. This kid was big already. We damage him if we potty train him too early. Keep him dependent. Keep him needful. They got to need the nurse for a long time. Well, see, you're a nurse. You want to keep your children that way. You want them dependent. You can't stand for them to grow up. But let me tell you what the last part of the word nurse means. And ladies, I'm telling you for your own good, and husbands too. Because there's nothing worse than a male nurse. That's the most depressing, sickening thing on the face of this earth, is a male nurse, a patron saint. Oh, sweetheart, you're always trying to cover up for those jerks of yours. That makes you a male nurse. You know what nurse means, the last part of the definition? A sexually incomplete worker bee or ant that cares for the young. In other words, when you become a nurse, your whole goal in life is to take care of the young, and you become sexually incomplete. You no longer have a desire for the right relationship with the right man. You become sexually incomplete. You're a nurse. And to have the right relationship with a man or a woman is no longer attractive to you. You no longer have the ability or the capability to perform as you are ordained by God as a husband and a man or a woman and a wife. You're a sexually incomplete worker bee or ant suffering for the Lord. Trying to make your children believe that they cannot exist on this earth without you. And that you gave up everything, including your personal life, and became a sexually incomplete worker ant in order to take care of your young, who now happen to be 25 or 30 years old, by the way, but that's another issue. Sickening. Absolutely deplorable and sickening. But those of you that were raised by worker bees and ants, who also were sexually incomplete, they had no desire, they weren't in submission to their own husbands. And they taught you that they're only something to help you over the hard times. Use them and abuse them and forget them. You have no way to love. So what do? You turn all your love and emotion and your affection towards the young, the children, and you become a sexually incomplete nurse, bee, or ant. And you wonder, what's wrong with me? Am I not attractive? There's nothing wrong with you. From an appearance point of view, there's nothing wrong. The problem is, you are doing what you've seen the Father do. One of your parents was a sexually incomplete nurse, a female worker, a carer of the young, who didn't regard her husband. He didn't regard his wife. He didn't regard the relationship that's proper between a man and a woman. It was perverted. So she or he turned their affection on you and spoiled the living daylights out of you. And became a sexually incomplete nurse, a worker ant or bee. And what did they do? You saw that, and now you're the same thing. So you only have a fling here and there, and now and then.
You don't know how to be complete. You don't know how to do it. Because you refuse to look on the one that God has given you to show you this is how you do it. You see, I'm not going to get hung up on that. I know what's right, and I'm going to wait. And when you're ready, you're ready. And if you're not ready, I'm waiting. Doesn't bother me any. See, I had to deal with these things. You think that I just went to this and I said, oh, so that's what's wrong with everybody. I learned this about myself some time ago. Yes, I was raised by a sexually incomplete worker aunt. I loved the woman and she loved me. But she couldn't keep a relationship together with my father if her life depended on it. Or my stepfather, for that matter. She just couldn't do it. Why? Because that's the way she was trained. She passed it on to me, and that's what I did. Until I finally recognized and understood that I was inundated. I had been perverted by worker, by nurse women, worker aunts, sexually incomplete. Loved me until I said I do. And then all of a sudden they flipped on me. And then they wanted to continue to make me what I already was. And I said, no, I don't want that. I'm through with that kind of stuff. You want a nurse woman? You picked the wrong person. I'm a full-grown adult male, a son of God, and I don't need no nurse. I don't need no woman to take care of me. But I do need a woman to take care of. Don't lose sight of that, guys. Don't lose sight of that, please. And women, you need someone to take care of you. Stop being a sexually incomplete worker ant or be a nurse, a wet nurse, someone who can only get a thrill out of getting some kind of relationship with their children. Well, let me tell you what happens. You grow up and your children leave and then you look for others' children. Why do you think there's such an upsurgence of child molestation? Sexual crimes against children. Because all the worker ants and the worker bees, they've grown up now, and their children are gone, so they're looking for others' children. Understand what you've done and why you're doing it. And God says, the problem is you got the wrong father. You've seen this done. You've been taught this. This is what you look to. This is what you look on. This is what you perceive. This is what you regard, and this is what you obey. And you're not coming out, no way, because you got in by seeing someone do it wrong. And looking to that and imitating that. And the only way you're coming out is to look to someone who's doing it right and imitating them. And Jesus said, look, you need to understand why you are where you are. Your father was sexually incomplete. He didn't regard women the way they should be regarded. He didn't do that. He used them. He was just part of the ant colony, and everybody fools with the queen. I mean, the queen has no allegiance to anybody. See, the queen ant has no commitment to one ant. She says, hey, you all look pretty good. Bring me more food. Bring me honey. Whether it's a beer, they don't care. All the males are committed to the queen. Well, you're not going to find that here. I never did like ant farms, by the way. That's boring to sit there and watch them just crawl around and do nothing. Going like this. I never did understand that. I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you now why your marriages, your personal relationships will never work out, why they haven't worked out, and why they never will. See, children in a relationship can be the biggest blessing or the biggest curse that you can imagine, depending on whether you know the difference between a child and a husband. You know the difference between a child and a wife. Man, you got to know the difference between a wife and a mother. You got to know the difference between a nurse and a wife. I don't want a sexually incomplete worker aunt who's committed to taking care of the young, the immature, the sick, and the aged, because I don't qualify there. Our relationship has got to be bad. It's got to be. Not because it's negative, but because it's non-existent. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I cannot be involved with that. It cannot be involved with me. There is no communion. There's no way to get the two together. Try as we want, no matter how much you want to, you can't. You can give one up and then do it, but no other way. And I'm just not willing to give it up. And listen, for those of you that say, well, I could never see Reuben wanting a nurse. That's right. Let me tell you something else you better not ever see. You better not ever think you're going to see Reuben wanting to be a nurse. Amen. That would make me sexually incomplete. No, thank you. I gave it the office. Amen. I'm not going to nurse you, my friend. I don't care how much I love you. I don't care how much God loves you. If God doesn't nurse you, why in the world should I? The only way that I can help you is to show you, look how happy I am. Look how it works for me. If that's not good enough for you, I don't care. I'm not going to nurse you. Could you imagine me walking in with a little hat and white nylons on?
No.
Huh? Can you see me doing that?
No.
With a little pen hanging off. You know how they have those little chains and a little round thing and they pull it out and they write and then they let it and goes back? That sucker will put your eye out. And they walk around with those funny little shoes like this. I mean, they sneaky people. See, they have those shoes that don't make any noise. And I've never been in a hospital. Thank God. I don't have any intention of going. I never will. But I'm told they got cold hands. And they're mean people. And they like to get big needles and say, and I'm told you're snoring up a storm, sleeping, first peaceful night's sleep you've had in ages. And she walks in, wake up, wake up. It's time for your sleeping pill. Sadistic women, mean creatures. But they can be a male too. But understand what motivates them. You need to understand what makes a nurse. He or she is sexually incomplete. They don't know how to have a right relationship with another human being. They don't know how. So they become sexually incomplete. Their relationship with others becomes perverted. And then ultimately, because they cannot have a relationship with anyone else, they start having a relationship with themselves. And they get into self-gratification. They only do things for themselves. They spend money on them to do what they want to do, whatever makes them happy, and that's all that matters. Well, you buy only things you want. You only do what you want to do. You only do what gratifies you. Somewhere along the line, you're going to find yourself sexually, physically deprived, and the only one that will participate in this relationship with you is you. And that's a perversion. And incidentally, there's a great deal of increase in the incidence of self-abuse and self-gratification. Why is it? Because those people are bound and convinced by their worker ants, their queen bee mothers and fathers, that they cannot be loved, and therefore they cannot love someone else, so they try to love themselves. If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with, as the song goes. I say pfft to that. Patootie. That's crazy. It perverts all of your thinking, and you get up and you say, what is wrong with me? Why can't I do that? That's what I want. But the minute I have it, I don't want it. And the minute I don't have it, then I want it again. Well, what's wrong? You've been nursed to death. And because you've seen someone operate that way with you, you've become that. And now I watch you, how you relate with your children and with one another as a nurse. And then you wonder why your relationships, your marriage, your friendship, even how you regard yourself goes right in the tank. Because all of your relationships become perverted. I'm telling you, my friend, it's extremely important who you look to, who you consider father, because that's what you're going to do. And don't tell me that you're looking to God Almighty as your father if you can't put down the cigarettes, the alcohol, the drugs, the perversion, whatever you're into. You don't tell me you can't put that down. I'll tell you why you can't put it down, because you're not looking to the right father, that's why. You're still imitating the one that trained you originally. And he or she was a sexually incomplete nurse that never told you you did something wrong. Everything you did, didn't matter what it is, they tried to cover it up for you. They brought you a bedpan whenever you needed one. They cleaned you up when you're, oh, that's all right, sweetheart. We get paid to do that. Not enough gold on the face of this planet or underneath this planet to pay me to do that. I don't want to do that. I'll say, do you realize what you're sitting in? I'm not going to clean it up. I will tell you what it is. And I will tell you how to clean it up. And I will tell you how not to do it again. But if you think I'm getting these little pinkies in there, you're out of your mind. Not me. Lubriderm maybe, yes. But I'm not getting my hands into that stuff. Mm-mm. Clean up your own mess. You made it. There's no mamas in this world for you. Your mama's the one that perverted you. Whether it was your dad or your mother, they perverted you. God's not going to nurse you. God's not going to mother you. There is no heavenly mother. There's a heavenly father. If you don't understand that, then you're in deep trouble. And if you can't get it through a man, my friend, you're not going to get it. Because it comes from a man, through a man, to a man, to a man, to those of you that want to be men. That's the only way. I was hoping we could get through this, but we obviously are not. Personally, I have experienced a loss of time. But for those of you that say, how long is this man? I'm going to tell you now on this beautiful watch. I'm going to quit at 8:30, whether you like it or not. You don't have to wonder. I don't care what time we started. I didn't say anything to you when you were all singing up a storm. And I'm sitting back here listening. I didn't say a word. You sing as long as you want. And I preach as long as I want. You know, locked doors around here. But you need to understand, you will do what you see your father do. And if you don't change your father, forget it. Forget it. Because see, whatever you see your father do, then you will feed it. You'll mother what your father started. And you become a conspirator. You become an accessory to the crime. It's such a paradox. You're an accessory to the crime, but you're also the victim. That's like walking out in the street and pulling out a club and hitting yourself in the head and taking your wallet. I mean, you're a criminal, but you're also the victim. That's crazy. But some of you keep beating your head, don't you? Oh, Lord, thank you. This is going to feel so good when it stops. I'm thoroughly convinced that the Lord loves us. Why in the world would he put up with such foolishness? And even more so with the foolishness that we do, why would he take the biggest fool of all to teach you what a fool you are? That's love. He says, I took the worst one of all.